And welcome back to the Last Lap podcast. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world, post-race Abu Dhabi Grand Prix edition. But more importantly, our end of season awards.
Indeed.
Niren, Matt Amis, Aldas, check them out. Links in descriptions down below, of course, as well. To everyone on this panel today. How are we doing?
Yeah, well, not too bad.
What do we think of the race? Quickly, briefly. Yeah, I'm kind of glad it wasn't a banger. We could spend more time reflecting on the season. Yes. It was a bit of, it was like a
mid
3 out of 10.
But the last five laps, I mean, they if were definitely, not that we saw any of it, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we'd seen the battles, maybe it would have been a four, but.
Race direction not great.
Yeah, it could have been better. But I mean, Abu Dhabi, it's one of them, isn't it? We were saying this, on paper, it has good, you know, elements of overtake. There's two clear overtaking zones, possibly more as
and there
well.
There are overtakes that happen. It's not like it should be, and it's and it's not. Like there are actually, but just for some reason, it never correlates together into a good race.
Maybe it's as well because it's the end of year. Is there's less on the line for everyone. Like first race of the season, everyone's on 0 points. Everyone's got equal amount to fight for. Mm. End of the season. I mean, Alpine didn't have anything to fight for today.
Yeah,
Haas and Alfa Romeo, they knew they were terrible pretty early on. Williams held on just about for P7. So maybe that factors into it. But
potentially,
and I think Abu Dhabi's. I mean, it's not the season finale. We all want it to be, is it?
No,
it should be Interlagos. Sure.
Interlagos. Yeah. I think or Michael Massey.
He is the season finale.
Yeah, he is the season finale. You just give him free reign, whatever track he can just be like, right, cool. We're going to go here. We're going to do this, and just let him decide.
Massey and Vegas. Anytime he does, that's a combination. Michael Massey and
go to his gaff in Australia. drive around his house
in his back garden. Fuck it.
Didn't he sign a like non-disclosure to never talk about it again? Is that true?
I can't disclose whether it's true or not.
Do we also really care anymore? It was so long ago. Can we just move on?
No, because there's nothing else happening.
No. Until more happens, we're just seeing a replay of little Perez and Lando's little
bonk,
as we were describing during the race. But yeah, there's nothing really much to go on.
Season Talk awards
with Abu Dhabi. Yeah, season awards 2023 edition, category number one. Now, I did ask you lot on my Twitter and community to get a bunch of responses for all these different categories. So I had a good look through. Sorry if some of yours have missed. All right, we picked four for each category and we're going to talk through it as a panel and pick our winner for each one using democracy.
Mm.
Okay. Matt was here last time. It was a bit easier last time because there's three of us. Now there's four. We could get 2v2, but cross that bridge if and when we come to it.
We'll send it over to
Lewis. A lot of the time it was like you two just ganging up on me and I had generally a good one.
My vote might not even like matter at this point because I'm at the end.
It probably won't. So, first category is driver of the year who isn't Max, because clearly Max was driver of the year.
add that in.
That's not a debate. Okay, I'm not interested in having that debate. He was clearly the best driver in 2023 by a mile. Yeah. So
excluding him,
was the best outside of Max Verstappen. So can we get some names, some suggestions?
Alex Albon.
Lando
Norris.
Fernando Alonso. I would have just said Lando Norris as well.
Hang on a minute.
Fuck it.
Just for the full disclosure, these two, you're banned from saying Lando. Banned.
No. That's not allowed.
There's
no vested interest.
Zero vested
from
interest
me.
Between these two.
I'm going to put
as well Hamilton in the conversation. I know the Hamilton bias suggestions. I know a lot of you seem to get riled up by them, but
you are British.
So. I mean, I'm British.
Yeah,
so
that means that's the
story. Checks out.
I tell you what. Yeah,
the full drivers checks out.
George Russell, Lando Norris, Lewis Hamilton, and Brexit.
So,
are my drivers of the year.
Look, I'm immediately going to take Albon off the table because he beat Logan Sargeant, who's a rookie. And yes, he beat him.
What are you trying to say about Logan Sargeant?
Also, single-handedly got Williams P7 in the championship, their highest finish since 2017.
But I don't think there's enough there. We didn't see enough against a, teammate-wise, we can't really do a comparison with Alex.
You can only beat what you're up against, though.
You can only beat, right. But I don't think he's in the conversation for the second best driver in 2020.
Why am I the one trying to make you?
No, because I'm being real, okay?
I like that. That's good.
I think for me, it's Alonso, Norris. I think I'm going to put Hamilton to one side and go between Alonso and Norris.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, obviously, with Lewis...
I'm happy to narrow it down to
With Lewis, we've got, very firmly third in the championship and a car that was a little bit inconsistent at times. Could have even finished second in the championship. at one stage if it wasn't for the Cota disqualification, which was out of his control.
I think his consistency has actually gone underrated, because the way I described it is that his like highs of the season, he hasn't had those like a huge amount of podiums, but he's always been consistent, especially in the races. He's been up and down in qualifying, as we even saw this weekend, but he has always been there in the races, getting the moves done, getting into those kind of even top five, top six positions. And when you've had like the likes of Ferrari, I think Mercedes and Ferrari have been the two kind of most consistent teams in that midfield, because obviously McLaren started slowly, Aston Martin have ended slowly, and Lewis is far and away ahead of both of the Ferrari drivers and his teammates.
Also, recency bias is going to cloud it a little bit, because Brazil was obviously bad for Mercedes anyway. Vegas was a bit shit as well. And here was all, he was obviously beaten by George, who ended up on the podium. But I think across the entire season, he was impressive, but like I do agree.
But like you were saying as well before, is if you compare it to like George Russell, you know, George isn't in the championship points wise anywhere kind of
isn't anywhere near
at all. Yeah, and so there'd be times where you'd be thinking, oh, who's out qualifying who, whatever like that, but that doesn't play into the points or anything like that. So, but yeah, I also then think my vote is going for going to Lando. I think Alonso was very very strong at the beginning of the season. But then the car's performance or development just didn't carry on. And I think there's been some stand-up moments for Alonso. But I think Lando has had more stand-up moments than Alonso has. Particularly where you wouldn't normally expect to see a McLaren on a podium so comfortably.
It's difficult because Alonso did have standout performances and has definitely, I think, outperformed the level of the car
at the beginning.
Even throughout the season as well. Like,
It's
not been a standout because the Aston Martin has been average throughout like the middle and the end of the season, but it's kind of a similar thing to Albon and Sargeant in the sense that he's up against Stroll,
so like also he's brand new team as well, which obviously doesn't matter at all because he delivered straight away, which is exactly what he does. And I think I kind of want to see how many races did he score points in, because I think he might have missed out on we talk about all the highs.
Q3 record as well,
what was it, six podiums in the first seven races.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Like, so similar to what Lando is kind of doing at the end of the season, because McLaren and Aston Martin kind of swapped, but then every single race Fernando has still been in the points even when the car hasn't been there.
Yeah,
I think also in Q3 every single time except for maybe twice.
Yeah,
so I think his consistency even, when the car has been good and bad has been unbelievable.
Even just then here, just he extracted the most he could have got out of that car, and that got him fourth in the championship.
I think for me it sways to Alonso because it was a new team for him, because this is his first season at Aston Martin. I think on paper they've done very, very similar jobs, but I think Lando being embedded into that McLaren team, Alonso had a lot more to learn and a different stage of his career, of course, and to be still doing it at 42, I don't know. For me, like, that context does play into my feelings towards these drivers of how well they haven't done. So my vote goes to Alonso.
Alonso. You're Lando. Okay. What are you saying?
Alonso.
You're saying Alonso. Actually, you should be banned because you have an Alonso jacket. That's the same thing.
It's not on now, but I've seen you in it
many times.
True. I think it's going to be rock, paper, scissors. True.
Therefore, no, I know I was obviously given like Alonso points. Obviously it's going to look like bias, but I also do think Lando, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, by the way, there's no wrong answer between those two.
There isn't.
Like what they've done, like Lando, I think, even in the early parts of the season, to kind of still be, you know, scoring the points. I remember even in Australia, both him and Oscar had really good races. But like once that car was like the second best, he was always P2. Very rarely did he finish third. He was always P2. And I think, again, had it not been Max, you know, potentially in other races like Suzuka or something, he could have maybe, you know, won it. So he's been unlucky. And I think for Fernando, that same goes in Monaco, actually, as well.
Lando's had those kind of, he's mentioned it himself, those moments where he's let himself down a little bit just at that absolute point. I mean, Fernando's also, he made mistakes at Qatar, and last weekend in Vegas, he made a big mistake. So neither of them have had perfect seasons, but they've been,
I think,
pretty close. I think rock, paper, scissors between you two. How does Matt? You're representing Alonso, you're representing Norris.
Yeah, cool.
Who's going to get it?
We're going to go like 1, 2, 3, go.
Cool. Oh, draw.
Lando,
rock, beat, scissors, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on,
I'm still employed.
I'm sorry, Fernando, I bottled it.
Right, okay, next category. Underrated driver of the year in 2023. Who do we think didn't get their
flowers?
Yeah, didn't get their flowers, exactly. Didn't get represented. Now, we've got a few names down here. We were talking beforehand. So, Liam Lawson, you can put that on
my vote, yep.
Pierre Gasly, put that one in.
Oui, oui.
Carlos Sainz. So he got the win in the end. Didn't outscore Leclerc in the end, unfortunately, for him. And Alex Albon.
Actually.
George Russell, I think, is worth an honourable mention as well. He's made a lot of mistakes, but he's got that was a great drive just then, wasn't it?
Yeah, but one race
and
out of 22.
He's gone level with statistically the greatest of all time in qualifying. So, what do we think?
I'm rubbing that.
I'm not propping it.
Not running. We're not doing that.
I'm not propping it. I'm just suggesting it.
I like that you tried to sneak it in last minute. So you're not writing it down.
You had that record beforehand. Oh, yeah, that was. No, I think Max Verstappen on that one.
Who do we think?
I think I gave a shout of Albon just because, I mean, again, I don't know if I feel that he's underrated because I feel he's done a great job, but just, I don't know, just the way he's led that team. And again, I talk about the fact that even though Sargeant scored that one point, you can't control who's your teammate and what car you were given, but he has single-handedly, with the points that he has scored minus Sargeant, put Williams in their best position since 2017. Like, he has delivered. And again, we talked about that pressure that was on his shoulders when Russell obviously left the team, and Russell was kind of their big star. He's almost been better at Williams than Russell was. Maybe not in terms of peak performances, because Russell had that podium, but okay. I just think he's been amazing. I think he's been awesome. Mm. Especially that consistency in scoring points once the upgrades came in Canada.
Matt? Yeah.
I think Albon is a really good shout. Also, because when he gets points, he's not crying in the post-race interviews unlike Russell does.
Wow. Next time I see you crying, Matt, I'm going to remind you.
That was below the belt.
I'm joking. No, I think it's a good shout. My vote was going to go for Liam Lawson. Obviously, he's not done the full season, but from what he did, literally as a rookie coming in and not knowing that team or the car, obviously from Zandvoort to help out with Ricciardo for those three races, I want to say it was. Three or four races?
Yep.
Was it three races? Yeah. I think it's just like, he's coming straight off the bat, really outpacing Yuki, who's obviously, that's the only car that Yuki's
Hold on a minute.
I don't think that's factually accurate.
I think he's...
To be fair, though, he did outpace him in the sense that Yuki Tsunoda wasn't actually able to drive at any point during...
When his car broke down in Monza.
There was no pace to have.
He was definitely close to... He was very close to Yuki.
He was.
I wouldn't say he outpaced him, but he was close.
Well, he beat him in qualifying in Singapore, didn't he?
I smell a few agendas in that statement.
He did. Yeah, well, listen, we're all entitled to
it. Okay, Lawson.
Okay, Lawson.
Very biased to Lawson.
I'm happy with Lawson being in there. Very happy with Albon being in there as well. Gasly, I think...
Tough
to come
team,
in and
mate.
Beat Esteban Ocon, if we're talking about, Lando having bedded into the team. I know Alpine is pretty unbeddable because there's so much change there all the time, driver lineup, in terms of leadership as well.
14 principals in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. Insane. That's just absolutely insane. But I think either way, to come into that team as Pierre Gasly and to beat Esteban Ocon, who's not a... He's not a dickhead. He's not a slouch either.
Ocon's a really good, driving best mate.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's a solid driver. So I think to come in and even with intervention, it seemed as if Alpine didn't want him to beat Ocon like in Japan.
There's definitely a bit of tension, especially after Australia. Sure, like,
of course there is.
To have the season that he had and also score the podium after, because Australia was a bit of a bad start to their relationship with the crash. Mm. But the way he bounced back, got that podium, also in Spa as well, that sprint podium. So I've been really impressed with Gasly, and that car has been so up and down, especially the last few races.
Yeah.
It's always either Ocon or Gasly scoring points, like one or the other, and then the other driver has a howler or something. Strangely inconsistent.
Yeah, like he's come in to a team that Ocon's been at for a long time now and like more than held his own, if not, I think, outperformed Ocon by ever so slight. Like, there's not been much in
so
it.
So close.
For sure.
Them.
But I think Gasly's like been up there to capitalize. He got that podium. Like, he's been there to do the job. Again, new team for him as well. Mm-hmm. Completely new set of... Yeah, he'd been Red Bull for his whole career, but not Toro Rosso family, whatever. So I think Gasly's a good shout, but I like Lawson as a shout for this, because I think Liam Lawson's, he's quickly fallen out of the conversation because F1 moves on very quickly.
Yeah.
But he did so much in those races. And these cars are so difficult. They're so peaky.
Got 6 points, I think, from the three races.
Oh, man. He like really benefited from that Super Formula stint as well, like going from that to these F1 cars. The high aero stuff and I mean, even in Suzuka, he was like scrapping with Tsunoda, properly scrapping with, like, it was good.
In five races, he finished 13th, 11th, 9th, 11th, and 17th, scoring 2 points. But I mean, that's immediately more than you know, the likes of Oscar De Vries.
You know, I mean, I know AlphaTauri had got better by the time he was there, but it's still not a consistent point-scoring car.
And I think where he got the points, like Singapore, that's a tricky track to drive. And
he was quick all weekend as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like...
Out-qualified Matt.
Zandvoort, though, FP1 was a washout, and he jumped in and just didn't shunt. Kept it clean all weekend.
A little spin.
Zandvoort. A little hard.
Dude, it's the first time driving the car, though, isn't it?
But, like, it didn't put it in the
also
wall.
Also, mental conditions.
How qualified Max in Singapore, by the way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he...
Oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah. I'm voting Liam Lawson.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go... I know I'm going to be outvoted, but I'm going to go Albon just for what he did.
I'm really torn. It all comes down to me. Gasly. No, I'm kidding. I think I'm going to choose Albon.
Oh, is this another
rock, paper, scissors again?
Come on, Albon.
One, two, three, go.
You know, I'm invited against Albon here. This is crazy. Yeah. Right, okay. Rock, paper, scissors.
One, two, three, go.
That's not how I do rock,
paper.
Okay. One, two, three, go.
I'll save you. Done already.
Liam Wilson. Beating Alex. I kind of feel split.
That's really hard for you, though.
How do you feel? Winning a lot there, really.
Liam Lawson takes underrated driver of the year for 2023. Next, qualifier of the year. A few names in here. Leclerc, Verstappen, of course.
Yeah.
Albon, 22-0, the only whitewash all of qualifying.
That's crazy.
Hülkenberg as well. Hülkenberg. More often than not, clear of Magnussen. Would fall back, but qualifying, you can't doubt the Hulk.
So I like that honourable mention for Hulk because lot of Q3 appearances this season in what is a shed of a car.
P2, but I'm just looking now. P2 in Canada in terms of qualifying for Hülkenberg.
Insane.
Crazy.
That's actually mad. I mean, obviously, the car has no race pace because it just chews through its tyres within like three laps at every single track on the calendar. In terms of one lap pace, though, in terms of qualifying performance, I think, he slapped it. And probably,
and also,
I don't know what the exact figures are, but I'm guessing
I'm looking at the averages. So he, over the course of the season, his average qualifying position was higher than both Alex Albon and Lance Stroll.
Higher than Stroll is
higher
crazy.
Than Stroll.
Given where that Aston Martin was at the start
Hülkenberg
of the
was my shout. Like that, if that Haas just had like 20% of the race pace it has, like compared to qualifying, like they could score so many more points.
They'd have finished
Hülkenberg.
Seventh in the championship easily. Like,
yeah, like they because they've got two decent drivers. Like Hülkenberg and K-Mag are decent drivers.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
Yeah, I was the one that I gave Hulk the shout. So he's probably my like qualifier of the season. Just also expectations again coming into the season. I think a lot of people weren't sure about the hire, but I think he's proved a lot of people wrong, Matt.
Yeah, and also I definitely have a lot of faith in him from the start. Mm-hmm.
Matt, what do you think?
I quite like Leclerc. I think Leclerc's a good shout. I think I don't think it's always translated into race position in the end.
I don't think it's ever his fault.
Never.
Honestly. No, but I think that's where like seeing most of the time you would see with Verstappen, who obviously quickest car, best driver on the grid with the package he's got. And the next person we then see probably qualify really well is normally Leclerc. Sometimes there's been his sights every now and then, but I think Leclerc's been quite proven to be almost better than like Perez with qualifying. Even like we just saw the race just gone then, you know, getting like, it's not going to get in pole position every single time, but I mean like getting in the top, at least onto the front, it's great considering where they are. So
on average, second best qualifier, Charles
Leclerc. There we go. Yeah. Over Perez.
Yes.
Even though Carlos Sainz is over Perez this season.
I want to make
Stroll
the case
is probably
for,
above Perez.
I want to make the case for Max because at the end of the day, that Red Bull car,
like
as much as it's dominated in the races, like it doesn't fire the tires up quite like the others. You see that in the races. It takes a bit of time, and just the consistency of which you look at Perez's struggles. Again, Perez is not a mug, but Max is just. So it's such a given.
I thought we were
that he's going to be up there
from these.
Only from that first category.
Yeah.
Surely, surely it's going to be Max.
So I think you look at like I know Monaco. You know, he was only a tenth quicker than Ocon in the final sector, but that's only an 18 seconds.
Alonso,
sector,
I think
that final
P2.
Sector.
That Max Monaco. Qualifying in Monaco.
Alonso was P2, but Alonso lost all his time in that final sector. He lost 3 tenths. He was 2 tenths up on Max. And Max knew he needed to put in a perfect final sector and did it. And like, I think that's one of the only criticisms I see of Max is maybe he doesn't have that outright one lap pace. But come on, like he's set.
But I think it's like almost to a different extent. Like the Red Bull is better, like the Mercedes, but obviously way different, like in terms of the variability. But like they're not as good in qualifying as they are in the race, the same as the Mercedes when it comes to the Red Bull. So it's one of those things where it's still got to be Max, you know.
It has to be Max.
And he's delivered. And even when there's been like moments where some teams were close, he has still delivered. He's always been maybe P2 or P3. It's not as if he's like.
Well, again, Monaco terrible. Was that example. It's like, oh, God, like Alonso's going to get pole. Oh, my God. Like someone else is going to finally get it. And then he still gets it. Mm. And because he just pulled that, that's where the driver made the difference there. Mm. And I think he's made the difference more often than not in qualifying. Because you look at Perez's struggles, yeah, like relative. So I think it's Max.
Checo.
Nice.
Brilliant. That's the wrong category. Right, I think we invite Max Crosswell.
I'm going Max.
We don't need to rock, paper, scissors for that one. But so Hülkenberg gets
my shout as well.
Max Verstappen, qualifier of the year.
Yeah, my official choice is Hülkenberg.
But it is mad, isn't it, that the last person to whitewash their teammate in qualifying was Verstappen whitewashing Albon in 2020, and that's exactly what Albon did to Sargeant.
Albon has cleaned
his
sheets.
I can't wait to see that Sargeant 2026 whitewash.
It's coming. Right, okay. Next category, individual drive of the year. So who had the best individual race drive of the season? Now, we've got a few listed here. So Carlos Sainz at Singapore, one. Strategic masterclass.
Yes. Serious IQ.
Big IQ.
Big brain.
Fernando Alonso at Zandvoort. Incredible moves in
double world overtake on lap one as well.
Banger. Verstappen at Miami when he came through from the back and destroyed Checo's. That's what really kind of.
That actually Checo did, was
P12, P12 to P1.
Yeah, P12, P13, P14, something like that.
That did actually just destroy his confidence completely, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Man. And also Ricciardo at Mexico coming back.
Yeah.
And car is not very familiar with.
Mm. And he's actually incredible. Mexico, result. He's not really that suited to anyway. He's not, I don't think he's ever.
He's qualified. He was on pole there 2018.
Yeah, no. But like, but he didn't finish it though because the car broke down.
Yeah, but that's just that. Those 2018.
He's always had that. That was 2018.
Always, obviously, the year prior, obviously, when he was there with the McLaren, obviously, he had that contact as well. Mm-hmm.
But his qualifying was amazing because he was ahead of Perez and was like just behind Max, or like a 10th behind him, which is...
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to imagine, if he was in the Red Bull, probably out-qualifies Max.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
What were you thinking?
I do like the Miami one of Max.
I like the Miami one because of what it symbolises.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of like the end for Checo. Yeah. Like that was actually... Like
you picking him, he's already dead.
Yeah, literally. Like so dominant.
Yeah.
Coming through the order and just... That just set the scene for the entire year.
Yeah, it's not even not just winning; it's also just getting a gap to Perez as well.
Yeah, and what was it in the end? Was it like,
oh god,
20 odd seconds,
something like that? Yeah, that's why like
the back, like what?
Even like Ricardo's drive in Mexico, I love it to bits, but I have to rate Max's drive in Miami that because also there's nothing else really going on in the race, and it was literally just kind of just coming through with it, and it was just like it was a proper slap in the face.
Yeah, I thought the podium for Alonso actually quickly in Zandvoort in such tricky conditions. That's we're gonna get onto races of the season in a bit, but in crazy conditions, people pitting all over the place. Like, is it salt? Is it hard tires, or is it like intermediates? Especially because at that point, the Aston Martin was dropping off. By then, the Aston Martin was looking a bit shaky, and for him to finish second, I thought that was a fantastic drive in, and he's been really good in those kind of conditions the past like few years. So I thought that was a really special drive by Fernando when the car wasn't at its best.
I think Sainz at Singapore was like,
the
way he managed that race and the strategic games he was able to play in that situation.
Yeah.
And also he put it on pole. I just think that to me felt like, again, it's the only non-Red Bull win all season, of course, as well, right? So that plays into it. But like he got himself in that position. And he just didn't make a mistake, unlike a certain other driver, which we will get onto in that race. Kept it clean, kept Lando behind. I think Sainz.
That felt like a little pioneer win as well, because it was like, you saw then the race after that. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been George. But he suggested doing that again. Mm.
They're trying to use my trick against me.
It was like, he's done something here. Carlos Sainz has actually done something here that other teams, like that's actually a tactic that's just been born out in the moment.
And that's what it took.
How am I going to win that race?
Apart from just the end of that race, just the fact that pole position, like could have been anyone's. Like, I know them, obviously Lando was super close. I think Lewis might have been, and George were quite close as well. So it could have been anyone's, but Sainz nailed the pole. Really good race right from the beginning. He controlled the pace very strategically right from the beginning. Like,
yeah,
I know Leclerc wasn't too happy about it, but like he needed to control his tyres and just... It was a really good executed race from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's Sainz. That's my vote.
Oh, I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna go Max with Miami.
I'm gonna go Ricardo Mexico because of the fact that.
Okay, I also go Ricardo Mexico.
No.
Well then, I go Sainz. No, I was going to say Max, to be honest. I still think it was... No, I'm going to go Sainz. Sainz in Singapore. There was only one opportunity to win a race other than Red Bull, and Sainz nailed it.
50% of this episode is just rock, paper, scissors. Go again. Fuck it.
This is between Sainz in Singapore and Max in Miami.
Nice.
Oh, that was Do it again.
Audio only listeners.
One, two, three.
Oh, draw.
Ricardo in Mexico.
No, that felt it. That it doesn't feel real because you weren't even backing him at first. You were going to be
Ricardo.
Well,
now I do. You've played the system.
That was a proxy battle.
That's tactical. That's
the system's been played.
You did it so quickly. And I was trying to catch up with you, and I got.
And Ricardo at Mexico.
Ricardo in Singapore. You see the right one.
There's a managed to get individual driver of the year. Right, next banger race of the year. Which race banged the most?
Zandvoort slapped.
Vegas,
mental,
Silverstone, yeah. Singapore.
Oh, there was some bangers, man.
I think those are the four, though. So Silverstone,
Vegas,
Zandvoort, Vegas, and then Singapore as well. Just the craziness,
quirkiness of it.
I'm gonna put I'm torn between Silverstone and Vegas purely because like
the McLaren vibes were good.
McLaren vibes were so good. Obviously, they're doing the whole chrome livery there as well. But like you know, they got actual proper overtakes going into cops and. Like positioning for the lead, and it's the first time where everyone's a bit like, oh, because that's when they brought all the upgrades as well. It's like, oh,
wait, they're actually quick.
This is actually unbelievable pace considering where they were before. At the same time, though, I will say Vegas was just like, because there's so much bad press around what's going on with the free practice sessions, and obviously, everyone was kind of a lot of people were wanting the race to fail, literally came and just slapped it in the face of just being like, yes, the track is simplistic. But that's where I feel you actually get really good racing from it.
Like, I mean, Spa's the inverse of that, isn't it? Yeah. One of the greatest tracks like in the world. Max, you know, all the drivers love Spa. I don't remember a single thing that happened in Spa, apart from GP and Max having
here
a
comes
that
was, Sebastian Vettel.
And that was Saturday, do you know what I mean? Like,
you had so many different battles in Vegas as well. Yeah. It wasn't just necessarily straight line speed. It was also the drivers having to get used to the circuit, you know, because they didn't have any support races going on.
A few collisions as well, which sometimes, you know, collisions.
Yeah, especially that's where you saw proper like dives at top speed as well.
Leclerc.
That's where I feel like that's probably going to see where you see the apart from maybe Baku, we have to obviously compare like sort of times and stuff. But I feel like that's where you saw the fastest overtakes in Formula One ever around the street circuit because max speed, then in the slipstream, and then diving into a corner, like it was unbelievable.
And we got the last lap overtake as well.
Indeed, we did.
For P2. Mm-hmm. That would have been for P1.
Yeah,
that would have been.
Oh, that would have been easily the drive. Yeah, easily. Yeah. I am going to make a case still for Zandvoort. Just I know it was quite weather dependent, so you did end up with little lulls here and there for like five or so laps, just because everyone would be on the same tyre and it was just about surviving for a little bit. But the actual changeable conditions there the start of that race, it's probably one of the most mental starts in Formula One history.
Because it was dry and then it rained really heavy.
Literally on lap one. Yeah. So some people came in on the first lap, some people came in on the second lap, and then some people just tried to hold on. Like the McLarens, I think George did as well, George Russell.
Yeah.
So you had that carnage at the start.
Then I remember Joe was in like P4 on the podium.
Yeah. You had Gasly, I think, was second.
Yeah, he finished in third, yeah.
Max had to come back through because I think Checo was first, I want to say.
For a while, yeah.
So Max had to come back through. So he had overtakes all over the place because it had shuffled the whole pack up. Mm. Then once it did actually get back to sort of slight normality in terms of the order, it just pissed it down again.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was crazy. He had safety cars, a lot of action. A lot of people been in it.
Yeah, by the end, Lewis was in the gravel. Joe Bottas crashed out. Yeah, it was so slippy into turn one.
Yeah,
Was it Russell came around the final corner? He could see the rain, or someone could see the rain and then decided to come in, or something. Because you've got the long pit straight, and obviously it was raining at the far end, but it wasn't raining on the last corner.
It's insane.
It's a hairpin kind of before.
Absolutely.
That was like pure, that was entertainment.
That was just everyone driving on instinct for like an hour and a half.
And also the teams really having to come into play and pull their weight. Yeah. For me, that was the most complete race that had everything.
It didn't quite have that fight for the lead that we had in Vegas, but I just feel as a race from start to finish and even in between, I think I'm going to go Zandvoort.
That was a complete motor race for me. I'll vote Zandvoort.
Yeah, I think Zandvoort.
I'll stick with Vegas, but I'm happy with
Vegas is also was
Vegas deserves.
It delivered.
And Silverstone as well. And Silverstone.
Piastri with Verstappen in only like his seventh or eighth race.
Yeah, the story of that one was cool because McLaren is coming back from nowhere. So. Mm. Okay, banger race of the year is Zandvoort. Next category, Latifi moment of the year.
Yes, the main one, the main category.
That Nicholas.
Yeah, Latifi not here anymore to actually, you know, be presentable in his own category.
Yeah,
indeed.
We have named this one.
He's here in spirit, though.
Yeah, he's here in spirit. Exactly.
So,
clearly.
First vote is for Russell at Singapore, driving into the wall.
Got to be the winner.
Hitting it, yeah, and retiring from P3, he was at the time.
Yeah,
chasing down there. Carson Lando.
Yeah.
Leclerc at Miami.
See, I can't actually remember this one.
So double crash in practice on Friday and then during quali as well.
Yeah.
Big one into the wall in quali. Yeah.
In the same, though. I think it was in the same corner as well.
That's why it's down for me.
Yeah,
that quick left-hander after the S's.
Yeah, I do remember that actually.
Checo at, I've put Japan/Singapore because...
Honestly, he could have had two entries himself. Like,
so he took out Albon, he took out Tsunoda. Magnussen, he took out Tsunoda.
Yeah, that was awful.
In the case of like two races.
Wait, why did he retire again in Japan? Because didn't he retire?
I think it was just damage.
He hit Lewis at the start, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Well, that was less his fault. That was just everyone being close together.
I've actually got another Sergio Perez one, which I actually think,
go on,
in terms of the title battle, was actually one of the biggest ones. Q1 crash in Monaco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
the reason is because that was off the back of Baku. Now, not a single person in the world actually thought Sergio Perez was going to win the title. But after he won back-to-back races in Baku,
mental,
like the sprint and the Grand Prix, we might have thought, like, it might be close.
There's at least a fight, maybe.
Yeah, there might be at least a fight. And what happens in the first competitive session after Baku, in Q1 of Monaco, where you're obviously going to go through, and he bins it straight away.
You can't
in
do that in Q1.
You should have done it in Q3, like you did pre-exactly.
Yeah.
You can't do that in
and
Q1.
And that felt like it set up a run of awful qualifying sessions for about 2 months back to back.
I think he was
all the way up
out
until
in Spain in Q2.
So Spain, Canada.
So as much as by the time we got to Singapore and Suzuka, it was well over. Like he might have been fine for second, but that was the moment we were like, wow, he crumbled straight away at the slightest bit of pressure.
To me, it felt like Japan and Singapore though were like the culmination. If that was like the start, that was like the grand finale of Lando. Just a shambles. And I feel so bad describing it like this. Obviously, he is a human, but it was like that because he's brought it back somewhat since then. But that was just the absolute peak of like, bro, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like mentally, this guy is like out of it. Like
he's
maybe out of practice in terms of just racecraft, but also he's overthinking everything.
But the thing is, his racecraft usually, he's never been a good qualifier, even when he was at Sauber. But the one thing that he was always good at is during the race, like getting overtakes done on his time.
He's
always been able to like come back through the grid and still get back to where he needs to. But Singapore and Suzuka, like his racecraft just went.
It was also the nature of the incidents. Like, so Singapore, lap one, I don't know how he didn't get penalized for it, but it was absolutely his fault on Tsunoda. So that's wiped Tsunoda out of the race now. Albon, one of the most desperate,
useless, egregious
moves I've seen all season.
Yeah.
Only bettered then by Japan, where he's
like... It was like the same move, wasn't it?
It was the same, and it was like, bro...
That picture of the two cars like snogging basically.
Oh my God.
And we saw that, and it's carried over. We saw it in Abu Dhabi. Like, you know, that move with Norris, like... It was
today, you know, here as well. Like,
I don't know what's happened to his racecraft because he's usually so good.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think if it's going to be moments of the year, we have to look at it as like an isolated, like an individual thing. Because then you could also take into account, George Russell also in Singapore, where he was pushing too hard, trying to follow Lando too much, and then took himself out by just going into a wall. If you're going for an individual moment, that's kind of it. Whereas because there's been so many few and far things he's done over the course of the season, it's not like... Oh, Perez was rubbish the entire series because of the...
I do hear that.
I think your shout, Perez at Monaco, Q1, because at Monaco, that's your weekend gone.
Yes.
And like he could have, again, the momentum he was riding, he could have been front row. He could have been up there to at least be in with a fight, right? Look how close qualifying was at the end. There's De Vries at Baku as well. Worth a shout. He had an absolute stinker at Baku.
That was a career.
It was a career, it was bad. But the weird thing is about giving it to rookies at the beginning of their season.
Yeah,
it's almost too easy. Like we expect, Sargeant had a few of those. I know De Vries is a lot more experienced, but I think the Perez and the Russell one, they were bigger in terms of moments. What do we think about? Because I don't think we've spoken too much about Russell's one in Singapore because that was a big moment that almost defined like what his season was. Like clearly there's a lot of pace. Like, he's leading. Maybe he could have won it. You never know.
And he had Lewis right behind him, like harrying him along as well.
Because he was chasing down Lando and Lando obviously briefly touched the wall as well, but he was following so closely behind that he just went straight off into it. And it was completely his own fault.
Calculated.
Like, of course, absolutely. Yeah, he was just gunning too hard. That there is where it was just too two in the heat of the moment, I would have said.
And I remember he blew his tyres early because Lewis and George pitted, and Lewis kept his tyres alive. Like even once they were catching Lando, George's tyres were gone by the time he got to Lando. So it was a bit of an experience, and then a really bad moment.
I think that makes it more of a stinker because he was. You could argue. I think he was somewhat holding up Lewis as well. Lewis had more pace at that time.
Yeah. There was a conversation.
George was
in
front, and like he was like, you know, fair enough, like let him go for it. And then he's the one who crashed, and then ended up out of the points of tie.
Yeah,
I think Russell gets my vote,
especially as he throws away then the podium as well. Like
as a moment, like you say, Matt, as a moment, I think that was the most high profile.
Yeah, like for a podium, he just threw it away. He didn't need to do that.
Potentially win. I mean, he had those soft tyres. Like he could have caught Lando. Yeah. I think for me, I'm still going to give it to Perez in Monaco just because of what that moment then meant afterwards. Mm. Especially with Max winning and then just obviously running away with the championship.
Yeah. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm also going to choose Sergio Perez in Monaco. Just because here Sergio Perez. Why did we have four people?
It wasn't even during the race.
You see, why did you invite me?
It wasn't even during the race.
It completely ruined this race.
If you didn't invite me on today, like it would have just been three of you easy.
Right. One, two, three, go. One, two, three, go.
Yes!
Sergio
Perez!
Give me that!
Come on!
That's the first one I've won, I think.
Perez at Monaco wins Latifi moment of the year. Right, nice. Radio moment of the year. So, got a few honourable mentions here. Charles Leclerc, why am I so unlucky?
Well,
after it's weird for a driver to admit
failed in Brazil. Max and GP having their little bicker in Belgium. Use your head, follow my instruction. When they're having their little one of many bickers, to be fair. I think just all Max and GP bickers, we can compilation kind of put them into one. Gasly at Japan, absolutely flipping his nut at the end
of the
race.
That was almost visual as well.
I can't quite remember the exact words he said.
And he's like putting his arms.
Yeah, I saw the arms. But I can't remember what you said.
It was just fuming.
French expletive.
Pure anger. And George Russell thinking it was raining when it was sweating in his helmet.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah,
that was good.
As he did.
That was elite, man.
Any other ones come to mind?
Then the next one, I think, again, almost similar to the Sainz one. A few races later, maybe even in Zandvoort, he was like, "Yeah, it's definitely rain, not my sweat this time." definitely said that in one of the races.
Yeah, yeah, he acknowledged it.
We are forgetting all the George mannerisms on radio of like. Blimey.
Oh, it's right up my arse.
Bloody hell.
Remember that one?
Yeah, that was great.
Where was that? Does anyone remember that? I forget that now.
There's little snippets throughout the year where you just did the most British.
Crikey, mate.
British thing. That's all happening this year.
And Carlos's radios, generally speaking, are very good as well. I think Carlos Sainz is the best on the radio.
I did like that. We were saying about the Suzuka one where he was... obviously, once he was doing that DRS trick, then Suzuka, when Russell tried to do it, he was like, "He's using my trick against me now." That was quality.
Lads, I've just remembered one, but for all the wrong reasons.
Oh God, no!
Esteban Ocon at Las Vegas when he was like, "No, was it? Was it him?" He said, "Tell Haas or something that I'm in
Mexico." Mexico.
Was it Mexico? Yeah, it was Mexico.
Wait, what?
It was Mexico.
He was lining up an overtake on one of the Haases. He's like, "Oh yeah, tell them I'm going to tell him next lap. I'm going to send it."
Win
the next lap, nothing happened.
And for like 15 laps, you just couldn't overtake.
It was on Hulkenberg. He tried to overtake Hulkenberg.
Tell Haas to be ready and then just didn't do anything else.
We have been ready for 15 laps and still nothing's happened.
Yeah, there we go. So it's. You can say to Haas that I'm going to go for it, so they better be ready.
God, so cringe.
I want that to be the winner. That's my winner.
And then afterwards, he was like, "The goal of that message is that they should warn Nico that he has to leave the space because I was going to go."
Yeah, right.
I will give
a little shout out to a bit of... Because Alonso, he's always got something.
Oh, of course.
Alonso in Miami during practice against Aston Martin. I think they were like trying to overtake him. And he was like,
one of the Alpines,
they're kings of practice. We'll do it in the race or something like that.
Yeah, he was just throwing shade.
Against his old team, classic Alonso. It's got to go
to that, surely.
Yeah, but it's Ocon for me.
Ocon hyping himself up too much against Haas.
I do think also, one more. Also, Russell in Spain, where he was, I think he was like, someone on the team was like, "Oh yeah, good move, Russell." And he was like, "Only good?" Or something like that. So Russell loves to hype himself up.
Yeah, he loves to gas himself up.
But not as much as Ocon. That's an easy winner. Easy winner. Right, okay. Two more categories to go. Race director moment of the year.
Again, the race direction has been pretty appalling this year.
It's just this year, it's been really
It's actually
off.
Just the second half.
Yeah.
You can even just kind of specify it down to that.
So, Ricciardo versus Russell in Mexico.
Yes.
Cutting away just as that
lap was and a half before.
To watch Max go.
Yeah.
I think it was even before the stadium section.
Yeah.
Insane.
This weekend, Abu Dhabi, Leclerc-Perez, when Leclerc strategically gave away position and we didn't get to see what he was trying.
Yeah, until after the race.
We saw it on the graphics.
We were watching Lewis versus Yuki for like P9, P8.
Yeah.
Which is like
then they cut away to show nothing and then went back to that battle after the race.
Yeah, AlphaTauri already
been decided.
The thing is, I get showing Max because they've got to do that like contractually, but then like we want to see the Leclerc thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Even at the beginning of the race, when I think Norris passed Piastri.
It's been awful. Like, you've literally got picture in picture for a reason, and they just never use it. Mm. Like they've forgotten that there's a feature. But anyway.
And then Sainz as well in Singapore, when the team were telling it, and he's like, it's on purpose. Mm. I'm holding everyone up. Mm. Strategic master play from Carlos Sainz.
Right.
What do we think? Who's getting?
I think it's got to be like Ricciardo and against George Russell, because although he didn't pass him in the end, he was like hugely closing in on him.
They were alongside each other, literally.
Yeah, they're alongside each other, almost side by side for like half the lap, basically. And although it wasn't, none of it was broadcast, it's then being shown afterwards, and like the race cross between them two was just like it was like giving them enough space, but also at the same time, it's just like. Anything could have happened to be like, oh, I could have gone for it.
Yeah.
The fact that, the race director just chose not to display that.
Max had only just entered the last sector when it cut to him.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in the stadium yet.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you want to show the winner.
Because what they want to do at the final corner kind of thing is like, you want to show the winner crossing the line and be like, right,
and
here's your moment. Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Kind of like,
but also,
when it's 30 seconds too early, it's like, what are you doing?
Just give a shout out to this one, though, because this actually meant something. This was. Our like, apart from an actual title fight, this is as close as we're going to get, and we didn't see like this was a crazy moment for Leclerc to go, yeah, I'm just going to slow down and let Checo overtake me to play like this big brain move, and we didn't see any of it.
Also, he didn't really play it. He didn't really play the move, Leclerc.
Yeah, I mean, he tried. I don't know what he was trying, by the way.
I'm not really sure how he was.
But they could have easily then like if they were to just cut to his onboard, and then you see Checo go to his right. As a viewer for us, we'd be like, what is doing it? It's going. And then you can just cover it off with onboards and see like, right, now let's see what the striking distance is, what have you.
It's just like, it was so predictable because Charles had literally said what his plan
was. And they came up with the graphic
before
as well.
On team radio, a lap before.
Yeah.
So just go to that happening.
Yeah.
But they have
probably
going to
happen.
They don't use the windows.
This is what I'm saying. Literally, if you contractually had to show Max Verstappen going through the stadium, which I'm guessing was the reason why they wanted to show whatever, show picture in picture the Ricciardo v Russell battle.
Yeah.
It's there for a reason.
I'm going to go Abu Dhabi. It's a late one that's just coming at the 11th hour, but I'm going to go Abu Dhabi.
They literally cut away as they were like side by side. Yeah. And they didn't need to cut away that early. That's my issue with it. So I'm going Mexico, Ricciardo.
Yeah, I'm going Mexico as well.
Given he's not done many races, Daniel Ricciardo's made quite an influence on this.
Been involved.
His predictions. Shock with Matt Amis.
Well, can he be surprised?
Involved, I mean. All right, final category. Wholesome moment of the year.
Oh.
Cute. So, Carlando 1-2 at Singapore. It was quite wholesome.
Yeah.
Ricciardo Mexico qualifying, he's in there again, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Alonso at Bahrain after podium.
I think
that was a big vibe. Also, earlier this weekend, K-Mag's kid was helping him put his gloves on,
and then it's the visor that gets me.
He's got to go to Alonso because we haven't seen that in quite a while of him doing this little like. Hey.
Yeah,
I just love I love seeing that.
But you could not script like we were all wondering during preseason testing like is this pace real or not?
Yeah,
they're just kind of like yeah they've got a decent car, but surely not podium contenders. And then for it to actually happen, and for actually that race as well to overtake Lewis the way he did, incredible overtake, and then just that podium, it was unreal. Like it also
felt like it was like oh man, like he's having an actual nice moment after like. 7 years of pain.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, do you remember
there was a lot
year?
Of build up even like
6 DNFs or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the guy's been so unlucky in terms of career moves, you know, with the McLaren Honda shit show. Obviously, then he spent some time out, come back, Alpine just breaking down out of good positions all the fucking time. Mm.
And always on his side of the garage as well. Ocon had way better reliability last year.
Yeah, it was a shocker. So for him to actually just have that nice moment, straight from the jump. I think, yeah, that's my probably wholesome moment as well.
I think I'd vote Fernando.
Shout
as
out
well.
To K Mag.
Trump's my Ricardo. Absolutely.
Fernando, clear. Alonso, wholesome moment of the
Who'd
year.
Who'd have thought it, by the way? Winner. Alonso winning wholesome moment.
What are you on about? He's a wholesome guy.
He's a shit house.
I've got a last minute addition.
Oh, go
being
on.
Here with you, lovely lads.
Oh, that's
the winner.
Fucking hell, it's going to make me sick.
You know, actually, there was one in my notes that I forgot to mention for a radio moment. It was when Max was singing Viva Las Vegas after he spent the whole week.
I know
he was slagging off the show and he doesn't hate Vegas itself. He just doesn't, think F1. He made some very good points in that conference with Tom Clarkson.
The second time he's had music come through his helmet as well.
But it was just very funny. Considering it, he was like, Viva, I was like, is that Max singing?
Yeah, it's so weird.
I think I've ever heard him sing before.
Yeah. I thought that was someone else singing down the radio to him. But it turns out it was Max Verstappen. So there you go. But I'm looking forward to Vegas back on the calendar next year.
Indeed.
Towards the end of the season. But talking to next year, I think we've got some news to tell everyone, haven't we, Niren?
We have indeed, yeah.
Yeah, we do. I'm gonna
allow you to...
You're gonna allow it to me?
Allow it to you, yeah.
Well... This is the last episode of The Last Lap.
Yes.
This is the last
Not
podcast.
Of this season.
It was the last stream ever.
Yep, it was
indeed. We're hanging up the gloves. It's been fun.
Yeah.
We've done it, started...
Last.
We started as Max started dominating this sport.
Yeah.
Literally. Spa last year.
Yeah. So honestly, guys, like I know obviously like it's obviously it might be quite sad or whatever, but like we're doing you a favor because if we are not doing this... then it means there will be a tight title fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's correlation is like, causation.
Ultimately, the correlation has
literally
been totally
coming
that.
From the best sort of championship we've probably ever seen.
Crazy.
These guys were like, hey, let's do a watch along. And then we've had the worst two seasons following.
So thank you for ruining all of our lives watching F1.
So Max Verstappen, you're welcome.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I will say though, Matt, good to end on a high. Obviously, no, you got to end strong. So I'm glad that we're here for the last one.
Indeed.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you very
much. Yeah. But no,
two
I think...
best guests.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, no, obviously. Yeah, but you know, also us being as guests as well, like it's been really awesome to see this to like go over the few years. And also like, let's also look at being a viewers and listeners as well. No one else is doing something like this in the YouTube or audio space at the moment. Like you have that with like football, boxing, whatever sport you can think of, but no one's done this for Formula One. And so kudos to you guys. Also all the guys behind the cameras at the Fedo Studios here who've like produced an amazing, like look here, you got all these different cameras here. The guy can flick between all the different ones right now. Yep, there we go. And like the infrastructure they've got here is insane. So like big ups to you guys and the guys here at Fedo Studios for putting this on. It's like, although you're hanging it up, like for both of us, it's been absolutely insane.
Yeah. And you know, I think the value to me, obviously like working with Unir, it's been great.
Right, guy.
And like the old, like, doing this kind of show, like I always kind of wanted this kind of style thing because I feel like this is something the space was missing and we're not going to be carrying this on. But I still, like you say, I think there's a space, like F1 is still in its kind of early days, I think.
Especially on mainstream.
Yeah, for sure. And it's still got a long way to go. And I think it's been, you know, I mean, personally, it's one of them things where it's a responsibility to be here on Sundays to do it, which ultimately, I think we've spoken about this a bit, like inherently with YouTube gives you a lot of freedom, and where YouTube is both of, you know, our bread and butter. For me, it was like, it was always going to take a lot for me to kind of be motivated to carry on doing this where I can't really go to races. You know, we've been to races and you've got to find car
long
and it's
season
like,
as well.
Yeah. And it's 24 races next year as well. Crazy. I live quite a bit away.
And you're potentially moving further.
Yeah. Potentially a bit further as well.
When you're doing like,
it's at least an hour for me.
Be up by like 5 or 6 of 4 AM. Then for like the few, that's like a 12 AM start.
Yeah.
I had to wake. I think I might have done this one of the early ones.
You did do Japan, I think.
Japan. I had to wake up at like 2:30 to drive to London for it. So, my commitment. question. Yeah.
But you're moving to London. So.
Exactly. So. Also, Austria as well. Waking up in Vienna, flying over just for this.
Yeah. But it's been sick as well. Like the guests we've had on as well. With
I was about
people.
To say, yeah. I feel like for me personally, obviously as well. Like my bread and butter is football stuff. Mm. So I've met quite a few people through doing this show in the F1 space as well. It's a sport I've always been interested in, but in terms of work, I do quadrant stuff, but in terms of like every day, it's not usually Formula One. So it's been great for that. Obviously want to thank all the guests that we've had on the show over the year and a half.
Yeah, especially like Pete, Mahad. You know,
yeah, there's been some guys who have been regular.
Yeah, because that's been like super helpful as well. Because, you know, people, the thing is as well, like, a lot of, especially content creators, like people, you know, they want to be, you know, we've had like Blake and Dan, for example, they've got their own stuff going on. They were great when they're on, but also they've got their own stuff they want to do Sundays. They've only got their lives outside. Yeah. And like, yeah, I mean, you know, Pete, Mahad have been, and Cam and Shez and all the, like, all of you have been on. It's been like so good. And it's been like nice to, because I feel like, again, doing like, just socially, it's really nice to like watch the race with people, because I think that's a big part of like why I got into F1 content in the first place. Because like football's very easy to like watch with your mates, and I've always watched that with my mates like growing up. But F1 was like my thing, and so like I wanted to make videos about it, to like talk about something I was passionate about, and that's brought all of us together. You know what I mean?
And I think the thing about like YouTube as a career inherently, most of the time it's quite. It's actually a little bit lonely because you're obviously making content for your channel by yourself. So the best thing is doing other stuff with other creators who are obviously passionate about the sport as well. And yeah, it's been very good.
Yeah, definitely. So it's, you know, I think as much as like the show, actually doing the show has been like incredible, because like I love like sitting here with you guys and like watching the races.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, yeah, I think for me it's a decision that like I made earlier this year, because it's just, you know, responsibilities in life and the tire for me, and where I've got my own thing outside. But also I think, you know, there's definitely room, there's space in this space to do something like this. It's not going to be the last lap anymore, but of course I will still be doing stuff on YouTube. Tomo, you will still be doing stuff.
I will still be doing stuff
on Quadrant as well,
on YouTube. FNG and Quadrant,
yeah,
you know where to find us. Matt, you will also still be doing content and stuff with Quadrant as
well. Helping out with filming everything on Quadrant and my own stuff. Amos, A-M-Y-S, that's how you spell it.
not Amis.
Luckily well. For me, it's just five letters to remember. A-L-D-A-S, simple as that. Chatting Formula One, chatting nonsense most of the time with hopefully with some of you as well. So
absolutely,
yeah, as always, that's where you can catch me.
Yeah, we'll still be collaborating and stuff. Also, most importantly, just thank you to the viewers, thank you to the audience, you guys as well, who have supported massively from the get-go in terms of watching the streams. Always baffles me that there's people watching us watching the Formula One.
It's very easy to forget. It's very easy. You just go into like when you're watching sport with your mates, it's easy to forget that there's like people, like thousands of people on the other side of those cameras.
And in terms of the support as well on the podcast, viewers wise, sort of numbers wise, on streaming platforms as well, it's always been really strong support. So massive thank you to you guys as well, and just for generally having us and being entertained by us, hopefully. And absolutely, to the fellas as well, Lewis on production as
big
well.
Big up Lewis.
Shout out Lewis.
He's got a bad rap from pitch side because of his stinking takes, but that's why we don't get him on here. Because if you think they're bad on pitch side, you've seen nothing yet. And you won't see it.
What a boy.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you all for joining us for this little journey. It's been fun.
But it's been
we're not going anywhere on our individual platform, so you know where to find us. Mm-hmm. And for the last time, thank you for watching.
Bye-bye.
Last.